Our reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It can be found on page 1153 of your church Bibles and on page 1785 of the large print versions. It's also on the front of your notice sheets and on the screen behind me. Now, thanks. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracle, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. All are apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. We just pray that you speak to our hearts now and that you release us in more things, more than we ever dreamed. Amen. Now, this subject can be quite controversial. I recognise that straight away. And I have to say, it kind of isn't for me, but I recognise also in me that the first sort of experience of Christianity was very much in a church where it was quite normal to pray for healing. It was quite normal to move in the gifts of the Spirit. So it's always kind of just been, I more experienced it in practice first than I learnt about it, if you know what I mean. I just knew that God moved in that way. And I realised that if the Holy Spirit lives in me, then it makes sense that I can hear from God. It makes sense that he speaks to me. But I don't want you to kind of panic. Over the next few sort of weeks and a few months anyway, we're going to kind of, and I kind of want to continue the conversation. I want us to kind of just explore where we are in this. And I want you to explore where you are in this particular thing and what it means to you. And to feel safe in that, actually. So this is foundational. I'm nowhere am I going to be able to pick apart that whole scripture, by the way, but it's the foundational scripture. I want you to keep going back to it. And as we go through the series, there are scriptures that will pick on particular things and themes that have been in that. So this is very foundational to me. So I'm looking at it and thinking and hoping that somewhere in there, you'll just be challenged to maybe think about how God uses you. Can I just say, every single, we use that phrase, don't we, born again Christian, and I think, oh, who's a born again Christian, and I am, I'm not. Actually, every single one of us is born again, spiritually. We are. It's a nonsense kind of saying in a way, because we're all born again. If we are Christian, if we know Jesus, we're born again, spiritually. You'll know that because you have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, and his Spirit will be working through your life. There's no division, in other words, here, is there? John 3 says, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Being born of the water is, of course, our water baptism. We've got baptism in a few weeks. It's exciting to watch. And hopefully they will go on to be confirmed. And confirmed, actually, is, you know, what was seen as when the bishop lays hands on and they receive the baptism of the Spirit originally. That's where it comes from. You know, but actually, when you know Jesus, the Spirit is there. It says, water baptism. When we are in water baptism, we're saying that we believe Jesus as Lord publicly. That's what we're saying. But we say Jesus is Lord also by the Holy Spirit, it says in 1 Corinthians 12:3. All of us should be baptized by the Spirit, in other words, and should pray to keep being filled with the Spirit. It's just a Christian should happen, does happen. And that is about allowing the living presence of God to transform us. It's nothing to be scared of. It's just God working in you by the power of his Spirit. And the Holy Spirit lives in you in the first place, so you know who Jesus is. He, the Spirit, also fills us so that we can have a purpose. We can make a difference. Can I just say, whatever your talent may be, once you became a Christian and you kind of got filled with the Spirit, often that takes on a new meaning. I don't know. When I first really got Jesus, that church I went to, and I really got it, I love writing. I write a lot. I do all sorts of writing, but it was different. God took over. So something that kind of I did naturally kind of became almost supernaturally natural. Love that saying. It's brilliant, isn't it? But the thing is, God uses the weak for his work, because with his Holy Spirit, we become strong. And that encourages me. I don't know about you. It means that when that happens, of course, it means that it is God who is glorified and not the person. Because you know it's God when you're weak and suddenly able to do things you couldn't do before, or you're encouraged in a way you weren't. So be encouraged. If you feel weak or inadequate, the Holy Spirit can and will fill you, and you can be used for God's kingdom to build his kingdom. Let me tell you that now. Not one of us is out of the equation. Not one of us. We're all equally important to the kingdom of God. So the verses in Corinthians help us to really envisage what it means, I think, as well, to be God's family working together. And this is foundational. Everything has to be done in love. And we have to work together as God's family. If we really want to see change, if we really want to see the kingdom come, we have to work together, by the way. Me and you. You and me. Hate to tell you. Here in Corinthians, Paul, though, is making sure that the believers are conducting things correctly, actually, within the church. That's what he's interested in this point. There is every reason to read this part of the scripture in the context of the whole scripture that is before and after this. And that is very much about behavior in worship and in the communion service. When we come to communion, we're receiving the body and life of Christ given for us. It's important we recognize it's all about worshiping Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12 is focused on them worshiping and working together for the glory of God. Worshiping for the glory of God. We worship here for that. It's saying, don't think like you used to think. Get rid of that. It's saying, don't think like a pagan. Think differently. What is the Spirit saying? How is God leading you? Let go of the old ways and now think of a new way. And not only that, worship in a different way. Worship is giving worth to God. We should do that with our life and our attitudes and who we are. But only through the Spirit can we proclaim Jesus is Lord and really, really mean it. Only when we come here with an attitude of worship that is about praising Jesus, seeking Jesus, hearing him, hearing God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, together as a community, will the Spirit really change things? Only together when we do that. Remember, our meetings here belong to God. They don't belong to us. It's not about us. It's about him coming together with us. You, me, and God, together here today, seeking him, hearing him. There are lots of gifts, by the way. Loads of them, so don't get too worried about what you haven't got. Think about what you have got. And they are equally given by God. We are pieces of a jigsaw, and we all fit together. And it's a normal part of being a Christian. Should be natural. Natural to pray, natural to seek God, natural to hear from God. In different ways we will. When I first went to church, you know, I was rammed straight on the healing team, and I can remember thinking, I hadn't got a clue what that meant, really. But they put me straight on the healing team, and it was just amazing. But then, do you know what happened? I said, that's why I think it's just normal that we pray. And sometimes I pray, and people, I see amazing stuff happen. Sometimes I don't. But what I do know is God works in it. And if I don't pray, nothing will happen. But if I get on board with God, his way, things happen. The gifts should be a normal part of being a Christian. Here in Corinthians, it seems there's been an awful lot of bad behavior, to be honest, towards the gifts. That's part of the problem, isn't it, in our church? You know, and there's been times when I've seen terrible stuff happening, awful practice. And it's very easy to throw that old baby out with the bathwater, isn't it? But actually, we're not meant to do that. We can't do that, because if we do, we actually quench the Spirit, and we're not doing what we should be doing for God. Don't let the things of the past, the things that have damaged, stop you being what God wants you to be for the future, now and in the future. God will put it right. There are no badges of importance. There are no badges of importance. Not one gift is better than the other in that way. The Spirit enables us to become a community full of love, respect, encouragement, hope, and expectancy as we value each other equally. It's that we are the gift of spiritual people to one another, doesn't it? I like that. You're my gift. I'm your gift. Spiritually, we are gifts to each other. Another word often used, of course, for gifts is charis. And that's where we get charismatics from. But actually, do you know, a charismatic is just someone who believes God gives us the gifts to use them today. It is not about a worship style, although I love worship style, different worship styles and all sorts. It's about believing God moves by the Spirit today. He heals by the today. He speaks to us. That can actually show itself in any way. It's not about putting your hands in the air, although I like to put my hands in the air. But it's not about that. We've kind of misunderstood, I think, sometimes what the word charismatic actually means, and we've looked at it as a worship style or a happy clappy, all that, and it's not what it's about. It means grace, actually. They are given regardless of who we are, in other words. We are given them not because we deserve the gifts, but because God is God and he loves us. And he wants the body of Christ to make a difference in the kingdom work. And he wants us to join in with it, actually. It's really cool. God wants you and me involved in what he's doing. And the church here in this scripture described as the body of Christ, not just anybody. We are parts of Jesus, in other words. We are called to be diverse. Are you a foot or an arm? Do you know, I couldn't care less. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're a foot or an arm. It doesn't matter. The point is, we are united in our diversity, and we give room for each other. Room. The gifts are described in the scripture as for the common good. They are for the good of the whole. And we look at specific gifts, I know, as we go along. So I'm not going to carry all that. That's why I say this is foundational at the moment. But they are given for the common good. And I want to ask you, are you a blessing to the church? Am I a blessing to the church? Do you use your gifts to bless each other? It's about being united. Not the same, diverse, but united. Together we want to serve Jesus. Together we want to see the kingdom come. There's a great book, actually, that I picked loads of bits out over the years, and it's called What You Do Best in the Body of Christ. It's a long title, by the way. So, What You Do Best in the Body of Christ, Discover Your Spiritual Gifts, Personal Style, and God-Given Passion. And it's by Bruce L. Bugby. It's a really interesting name, Bugby. Anyway, if you want to know, obviously ask me about the title of the book later if you want to look it up. But it makes the point that we need to be planted in the right place to grow. And it's talking about places, as in where we are. It's talking about our passions. That what we have a passion for is often the thing from God, that God is using us. It's often where our gifting lies, actually. And so I'm going to ask you, what is your passion? For instance, if you have a passion for children's work, but you're in the worship group, it may well be that you need to move to where your passion is. That's okay. I love it. I don't mind people moving around to put them in the right holes, if you like. Square pegs and round holes don't work, you know. And I believe God's given us everything we need in this place, in this community here, to do his work. It's important. So you maybe need to move where your passion is. That's okay. Sorry if I just destroyed all the teams here, by the way, for saying that. But actually, I am absolutely certain that it means others will raise up to do the thing that they have a passion for, and those things will be fulfilled. Sorry, the welcome team. If you have a heart to see people healed and it's burning in you, talk to me about joining the ministry team, maybe. Desire to see people know Jesus, come on the Prayer on the Streets team. Talk to them on the streets. It's fantastic. We have great fun out there. We really do. But there's loads of things where you can just start to investigate that. Of course, we need to test those things. We need to test these things with our leaders. And here we have great leaders leading these teams, by the way. Talk to them. Talk to me. Talk to our leadership ministry team. Talk to them. We help to discern and grow each other. Enabling each other. Our home groups this season are looking at the gifts. So just think about what it is that you think is your passion. But you're sitting there saying, what are spiritual gifts? What are you going on about here? You know, actually, we had a list there, didn't we? A fantastic list. But I'm going to go through that. Knowing your spiritual gift, knowing where God is calling you, knowing your passion will help you to become more alive in Jesus and actually make it less of a burden when you're serving him. And help you to be used for the glory in the community. His glory. Knowing your gifts means you have a purpose. And that helps the body to be Jesus-shaped. And I want us to be Jesus-shaped here. And I know that Jesus would like it to be Jesus-shaped here. And I hope that's what you want. We are all like different colours, if you like, creating a picture. Can you imagine the sunflower by Van Gogh not having yellow in it. If somebody isn't fulfilling the thing that God has got in them, we lack. I want everyone here to be enabled, to released in the things that God has called them for. Romans 12, 3-8 says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. And if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance to your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, teach. If it's to encourage, encourage. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So which of those particular gifts, and I'm going to mention some now, and I'm just going to ask you, what makes your heart leap? What makes your heart leap? Don't worry about how you're going to receive it, how you're going to grow in it at the moment, because we're going to look at that over the weeks, like I say, and we're going to talk to us more. But what makes your heart leap? So particular gifts, we're going to have them on there, they're going to come up hopefully. We're going to start with administration. And everyone goes, oh, administration is a gift. It is. Able to guide, plan, and accomplish things within the community. Praise God for those that do administer. Praise God for Simon Vincent, frankly. Do you know I do? I really do. Is he here? I don't know, I don't know. Can't hear that. But actually, praise God for him. I do, he's my church warden. He's so good at this stuff. Discernment. The ability to weigh up that which is right and wrong. Those people we really need to listen to because they see stuff we don't see. They have that gift of discernment. Encouragement. The ability to comfort and support. I love our encouragers. We're so good at looking at what's wrong. We need to look at what's right, and we've been reminded of that. We need in encouragements around. Please, more of those. Evangelism. Passion to share the gospel, to go out there. And do you know those people that just can say a word and somebody sort of falls to the feet of Jesus? Oh, we need more of those, don't we? But actually, you know, we're all called in these areas, by the way, but there are those that excel in these areas, that have these giftings, that we need to let them flourish in them. Faith. Someone who trusts in God and communicates this to others, an unwavering ability to believe for God's promise. You know those people that go, it's going to be all right. And you're sitting there, no, it's not. But actually, it's going to be all right because God says it is. Don't we need those that have the faith to believe in it? Giving. We need our givers. Those that desire to give to those around them in need. Those that are able to obtain resources that are needed for ministry as well. We need resources to do what we need to do here. We need those people that have that vision. Healing. Now, we all get to pray for healing, but there are those that have a real ability to pray for people and see them healed physically and spiritually, who just know that God does it, who just believe, who have that extra something, and they pray for people and things happen. They're just amazing. Hospitality, that intercession. Intercession is the ability to know the heart of God. We pray here intercessions, but it's actually about knowing the heart of God and praying into that. What is God saying? What does God want us to pray for? Praying into God's will. What's God want? To stand in the gap between heaven and earth. I love that. Gift of knowledge. Having that biblical insight and sharing it. Just knowing things that God has shown you. You know those people that just know stuff. And you think, how do they know that? Just knowledge about things. And they just know things about the Bible. Miracles. To believe and see miracles happen. And again, those people that have that faith for that and see things happening and know they happen. We need that. Prophecy. This is the one we need to eagerly desire. We all can hear from God. There are those that are, being a prophet is quite different, but desiring to hear from God, to share the divine message of God. What is God saying to his world today? What is God saying to God's people? What is God saying to you? You know, knowing that God speaks today in that way. Pastor, ability to care and guide people to be Christ-like. Enabling people, enabling God's people. Teaching, the ability to explain God's word to those around you in a way that is truth and helps listeners to apply it to their lives so they become more Christ-like. Those teachers that can just somehow speak to our heart in a way that others can't. Tongues is a gift. It's the divine ability to speak, worship, pray in another language. Some of us here will pray in that, and there'll be more about that in another session. We'll use that in our prayer lives. It's not the most important gift, by the way. It's just one of them. Interpretation of gifts. To know what is being communicated and said and communicate it to others. Wisdom, the ability to know how to apply spiritual truths to situations. Those that we go to because we just know they're going to give us a wise answer. And you might sit there and think, oh, I'd never thought about that being God's gifting in me. I'd never thought about that being special because it's so ordinary and normal. But it is. Recognize it in you. We'll all have a mix of gifts as well. And this list is not exhaustive, by the way. That's just what I've found and done and picked out from this particular scripture and others. Over the years, I've had to learn how to hear from God. I particularly do move in the prophetic. I've kept it quite lucky, but you know. But actually, I had to learn how to hear from God. I learned how God speaks through me. And I've seen it move in ways that I'd never dreamed possible. I've had to test it. I've got things wrong. But I've also got things right. And I realize it's about him, not me. And that's the important thing. I've tested where I have a passion. I have a passion to hear from God. But I also love, and my biggest calling, and I know that, is to enable people. What is yours? I love enabling others. The pastor's heart. I promise you, as part of the DNA of the church, spiritual gifts should be natural. They're not the ultimate focus. They're part of who we are as God's body to enable the kingdom work. Jesus is our focus. Jesus always. If it ever gets out of balance, we're in trouble. But the gifts help us to do his work. And I say some will excel in those particular gifts. And we can talk about that more later. But we can all be used to pray for healing. We can all be used to care for others in some ways. We can all be used to share our faith at some level. What is God doing in you? Where's your passion? And the last verses in 1 Corinthians 12 remind us that not one of us is superior. Whether I stand up here or you stand up here, or whether you sit there, whether you make the cup of tea, whatever you do, we're not superior. We are to eagerly desire to prophesy because it's good to know what God is saying and to hear his spirit. But it's to bless the community. And this Saturday, we have the learning to hear God's voice. I do urge you to come along, and if you hate it, it's fine. We'll talk about it. It's fine. Let's just talk about the things we struggle with. Baby in bathwater. You know, take the meat and leave the bones. But come along. Learn how God speaks to us. Or be challenged in that area. Seek it eagerly, it says. It says to desire the greater gifts, but that doesn't make us greater, by the way. Doesn't mean that we're more important. It's because those greater gifts, hearing from God and knowing what he's saying, actually builds up the body of Christ. Doesn't make us more important. And I just want to then say that the passage next to this is Corinthians 13, and in the context of the whole, it was about how the church behaved. And we have to read, we're not going to read it now, obviously, but that is about loving, love. All this stuff means nothing if we don't love each other. If we don't exercise the gifts that we have in love, we cannot function without it. It's as we love, as God's community, we will be able to minister for the glory of God. And these gifts without that are useless. So I hope that has kind of spoken to you a bit, rattled you a bit maybe, I don't know. But I want us to pray today. I just want us to pray in a minute. I want us to pray to love better, first of all. And pray that God will reveal his gifts and your passion in you. I want him to raise up some passion today. And what the gifts are. What do you eagerly desire? And I want to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us anew and to release in us new gifts. And if you really think God is nudging you, talk to me. Talk to the leaders of the groups. go in your home groups. And, you know, if you're not in a home group, talk to us. We'll get you in a home group. Talk in the link. You know, pick it apart. Let's start doing God's theology together. It's not just about me standing up here bleating or any of the others. It's about us together learning how to investigate what God is doing in our lives. You are all in charge of your own walk with Jesus. But together, we help each other, we learn, we grow. Together, not separately. So talk to your group leaders, talk to me. Talk about what God is doing in you. And over these next few weeks, be challenged. Challenged. So I'm going to invite you now just to stand, if you can. If you can't, God doesn't care less, neither do I. And I want us just to pray, and I want you to be in receiving. If you feel like putting your hands out in front of you, do, to receive from God. You know, just do that. You should receive, and if you're happy, if you're not comfortable, that's fine. And I just want to say that there will be people over here available to pray for you as well during the worship. Do get up and go and get prayed for if you feel that you need that. Or after the service, there'll be people there available to pray with you. But let's just now just ask for the Holy Spirit to come and reveal, first of all, what are you passionate about? Lord Jesus, I pray, what are you putting in us? What do we need to change? What do we need to receive from you? Raise those passions up, Lord. And Lord, by the power of your Spirit, release in us a new love for each other. That everything we have is from you. And we just give it to the body of Christ now to be used for his glory. That we will love each other, give room for each other. Allow the diversity in the name of Jesus Christ. Allow the freedom to be who God has made us to be, so that we can see transformation in this community. We thank Jesus for using us for his glory. And Lord, release in us the gifts of the Spirit, whatever that may be for us, whatever it is that God is putting on our hearts now. And anyone who's feeling afraid or uncertain, I just pray, Lord, that you just minister into that now. Where there's been hurt and damage, I pray, Lord, that you will bring healing. Where there's been bad teaching, distortion, remove it, Jesus. And by the power of your Spirit, help us, Lord, to go forward free. To be the body of Christ here at St. James. To work with all the other people around us, glorifying you. Raise us up, Jesus.